Welcome to the Muscle Expert Podcast with Ben Pakulski, one of the world's top professional bodybuilders, an expert on human performance and mindset mastery. Ben dives deep to deliver the strategies of the top experts to upgrade your body, mind, muscle, strength, performance, biochemistry, and how to become the upgraded modern man. Join us on BenPakulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.
Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Ben Pakulski, the host of the Muscle Expert Podcast. As always, I have a brilliant, beyond brilliant guest joining me today. And this gentleman is literally changing the world. I'm so excited to dig deep into what he's doing in three different locations, which he just corrected me on. So we're now in Sedona, British Columbia, and also in Germany. And this gentleman's name is Dr. James Hart. He's doing something, or he's pioneered something known as the field of neurofeedback, which I'm not even going to try to define. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. So Dr. Hart, welcome.
Hey, it was wonderful to be here with you.
This is absolutely exciting for me. So I'm a big fan of, living an optimal life. So, in a previous life, not so long ago, I was a professional bodybuilder. And, most people look at that and they attach their stigma as they will. But I saw it as more of a means of transcending some of the limiting beliefs in my mind around laziness, around, family. And I think I did a pretty good job of doing that. And now that I've, been transparent with my exit from bodybuilding, now it's about transcending my mind and overcoming the limiting beliefs, overcoming, everything holding you back in your mind. And as we now learn that it all is exactly that in your mind, it's not reality. It's all things that you're holding in your brain that can hold you back. And you've gone so far as to turn that into a definable science and now something people can practically change.
Yes, they can. When you change your brainwaves, you change your life. Brainwaves rule is a simple way to put it.
Absolutely. So,
You talk about things that hold you back. Well, we also want to help people know the things that will release them, that will spring them forward, that will empower them.
Fascinating.
Get rid of one and you enhance the other.
Can you tell us, for my listeners who aren't familiar with what neurofeedback is, exactly what it is and how it works?
Sure. In 1908... an Austrian psychiatrist went looking for electrical waves in the brain with very primitive equipment, and he found some. And because they were the first, he called them alpha waves. They're not the fastest, they're not the slowest, but they're typically the biggest electrical waves in the brain. Alpha waves oscillate, positive, negative, between 8 cycles per second and 13 cycles per second. There are other brain waves. Delta is 0 to 4, theta is 4 to 7. The Schumann is in that little gap between theta and alpha, 7 to 8. Above alpha is beta, and above that is gamma, and this is the suite of brainwaves that all of us have to one degree or another. But unfortunately, most people don't live in, don't activate the really powerful and effective brainwaves, alpha and theta. In fact, if you think of these as gears of a car, your car would not give you very good gas mileage, and it'd be in the shop a lot if you shifted from first gear to high gear, and then from high gear back to first gear. Well, a lot of people operate their brain that way. They, maybe take a sleeping pill to go to sleep, probably don't sleep enough to wake up. They take caffeine. Or something else that gives them adrenaline. And so they're operating their brain in a way that gives them low productivity and high stress, which translates into high medical costs. And the way around that is to learn how to shift smoothly from each brainwave state to another as needed. Alpha and theta are among the really beneficial brainwaves that most people don't have enough of.
Incredible. And I know that. And, people who are avid students of brain function, brain physiology, meditation are very aware of that. And we spend years trying to accumulate the ability of consciously going from state to state and literally You know, we've heard it said that it could take 40 years of meditation to achieve the ability to mindfully and consciously go through these states. So Dr. Hart, can you just give us an idea as to how, you know, maybe what the, what being before how, but what the process looks like, and then how this neurofeedback is actually allowing people to do that at a chemical level or at a physiological level. So I think my listeners, you can understand, are maybe a little bit more advanced, a little more scientifically inclined. So they want to know the nitty gritty, the geeky stuff, maybe not to your level, but a couple steps below.
Well, Ben, you're absolutely right that in many traditions, to achieve mastery through meditation, it can take up to 40 years. In Zen, a famous study done in Japan by Kasamatsu and Harai showed that it took between 21 to 40 years of intensive daily practice of Zen in order to reach the state of advanced Zen, where you had certain brainwaves. Well, with the BioCyberNet technology, you can achieve those same brainwaves in a week. Instead of 21 to 40 years of Zen, you can achieve that in 1 week with the appropriate brainwave feedback training. And the key is, because you have to accumulate experience, but you can experience things slowly in meditation or very rapidly in the brainwave feedback. You can think of this, to give you now some of the nitty-gritty, you can think of it as a signal-to-noise metaphor. The alpha waves are very tiny signals in the brain, just a few millionths of a volt. And so in meditation, you're trying to tune in to this very tiny signal and to make more of it. And so, you know, you go to a quiet place, you have a retreat, maybe you have a meditation room, you go to a meditation center, or maybe you go to the woods or to a cave like yogis often do. And there you reduce the external noise, so it's easier to tune in to this tiny internal signal. Well, at the BioCyberNet training centers, we reduce the external stimulation. People sit in quiet, dark rooms. However, that's not the only advantage. With our technology, we reach in and we pick up these tiny brainwaves with amplifiers, powerful amplifiers, and we boost them 100,000 times so that they become big enough that computers can read them. And then we do what's called spectral decomposition, which is as simple as in light, where you take a prism, a triangular prism, and you pass a shaft of sunlight through the prism, and what you get is the spectrum, the rainbow. Well, we use the electronic equivalent of a prism to decompose the brainwaves into the spectrum, delta, theta, Schumann, alpha, beta, gamma. And then once the brainwaves are broken down into their constituent parts, and after having been amplified 100,000 times, then computers can go in, read them, analyze them, and then, here's where the real magic comes in, give people feedback. Now, everybody's familiar with a mirror. A mirror gives you visual feedback. If you stand in front of a mirror, it's not going to make you smile, and the mirror is not going to make you frown. But if you need to practice your smile or your frown, a mirror is a perfect feedback device to use. Because when you initiate some pulling of muscles in your face, you get instant feedback on the results. Well, in the BioCyberNet training, when you initiate something, either by a thought or a feeling, or the absence of a thought or a feeling, because sometimes in meditation you go for empty mind, when you achieve this state, then there are changes in your brainwaves and you hear those instantly as sound. What we do at the minimum, like in the Alpha 1, there's 9 levels of the Alpha training. In the Alpha 1, people hear their Alpha brainwaves from 4 different regions of the head, left and right, back and top. And the feedback tones for each of the sites are bum, 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 bum. So there are pitch cues, as well as the speakers, 4 speakers in different regions around the head. So you can tell where on your head the alpha waves are starting to occur. And when they get bigger, the musical tones get louder. So you hear your brain as flutes and oboes and organ music. And then when you go to alpha 2 and you have 4 more sites on the head, left and right, side and front. Then you add in clarinets and saxophones and a synthesizer voice called Mystic Choir. So you are creating a symphony of sound. In this symphony, you are the composer, you're the performer, you're the conductor, and you're the audience. Hopefully you're not the music critic.
Right. Wow. So this is all going on. So people going through Alpha 1 and Alpha 2, does that going to take 7 days? Or are they going through all levels of Alpha training in these 9 days, or in the 7 days?
Each one of the levels is 7 days. We do have a short form abbreviated course we call Boot Camp for the Alpha 1. That is where people go into the chamber twice each day. And in fact, the 7-day trainings also have a form, which we call the premium double, where people go into the chamber twice each day. When I introduced the premium double about 2 years ago, this October, instantly, about 2/3 of all the people signing up went for the premium double, because the people that we get are interested in maximizing their performance. They
Right.
want the most out of life, and so if there's an opportunity to get more in a week, they are going to go for it.
Fascinating. So is it the type of thing where you're kind of seeking, as you hear the tones that you know sound desirable, that you know are desirable, you just try to continue in that state of thought? Is that kind of the objective?
Well, if you have a big burst, of course you will want to continue it. But what people very quickly discover is that when there's a big burst, and this is, I can say this from personal experience, when I was first learning, there'd be a big burst of sound, and my rational mind would jump at it and go, what was that? How did I do that? How can I keep it going?
Yes.
And of course, it would retreat. And so I had to learn to put a leash on that rational analytical analyzer. And if I could hold it back for a half a second, then the alpha would continue loud for a half a second, and I would get more alpha energy and would get bigger scores. And so as you do this work, you learn how to come out of logical, analytical, and even verbal awareness into a larger state of awareness, in which you then have much more alpha waves. And thus you have access to greater creativity and greater performance physically. I've worked with U.S. Army Green Berets, and they found that the training was so awesome that after their training, I trained two 12-man teams of Green Berets on a secret Army base. And after their training, by contract, I left the technology on the base for almost 3 months. And these high performance, gotta do the maximum you can do kind of guys found it so valuable that on voluntary days, once a week they'd have a voluntary day. They could date their girlfriend, they could go to the movies, they could play ball, they could swim, they could sleep in. 2/3 of them went back for more alpha training.
So now one thing you said is you'd score higher. Is this the type of thing that's kind of a graded system whereby like you'll get a feedback at the end, you'll get like a rating, like, hey, you scored this, and allow you to see progression throughout the week? Is that the objective?
It is. And Norbert Wiener, the famous information scientist, said that the stationary period of the EEG, the brainwaves, is 15 seconds. So it's not meaningful to score the energy for less than 15 seconds in most cases. And the scores that we present to people when they're doing alpha feedback training occur once every 2 minutes. So in that are 8 15-second scores averaged together, and so the scores interrupt the eyes closed auditory feedback for only 8 seconds. And then people open their eyes, they see the scores, which differ for obviously different places on the head. And we also have scores to indicate the degree to which the left and the right brain is working together. We call those hemicoherent scores. And so the power scores literally are the square root of the energy that was produced at each of the sites on the head. So it's a real physical phenomenon, and more is better.
Really, really interesting. So I'm really curious as to what types of people, you know, it sounds like it's very high level performers, and which is really up my alley, but what type of people are you typically experiencing come through BioCybernaut?
Well, it ranges so far from children as young as 8, and we will take children as young as 7.
And so let's speak to that. What is their desired result?
Well, typically children will come, and between 7 and 12, they must come with at least one parent who does the training with them. Most cases, the children have been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and many are even being maintained on Ritalin. And so every single child who's done the training, who had ADD, at the end of the week, they didn't need their Ritalin anymore. Well, to give you one example, we had a 9-year-old boy come with his father from Iowa. The little boy had scored 60% on the Iowa statewide achievement tests. So during the summer, he came, he did the alpha training, and when he went back to school, not only did he seek out the biggest bully and teach the guy how to meditate, but at the end of that year, he was 96% on the statewide achievement tests. And then about 18 months ago, the little boy's father wrote me an email and said that his son had now graduated from college with honors. And so that's the principal reason that children will come, although children can have also very profound spiritual experience as well, just as adults do. One of the most recent results that we've just come up with is that the Alpha 1 training boosts a person's EQ, or emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it turns out that only about 10 or 20% of your success in life is related to your IQ, your regular intellectual intelligence. But 60 to 70% of your success in life is related to your EQ. In fact, according to Dr. Travis Bradbury's book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0, for every 1 point that you gain in EQ, that translates into $1,300 additional income annually. And what we're seeing for men is an EQ increase of over 12 points, which translates, if you look 20 years out from the time you do your training, into almost $320,000 additional dollars of income that you will get compared to what you would have gotten if you hadn't done the alpha training. And Dr. Bradbury, in his Emotional Intelligence 2.0 book, points out that this emotional intelligence benefit applies to all people in all jobs in all parts of the world. They haven't found a job in which emotional intelligence doesn't increase your effectiveness and your earning power.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really powerful that the brainwave training produces changes in emotional intelligence, which translates directly into more money for people.
So can we go back to the 9-year-old boy? I'd like to talk about what you think was actually happening there. Was it exclusively his ability to control emotion? Was it exclusively his ability to just bring himself down into a more aware brain state, or be more aware of his thoughts? Or I just want to get a little more practical understanding of actually what's happening post BioCybernaut.
Sure. Okay, well, in many cases, I've had one of my cousins had a little boy who was ADHD, and during the course of one summer, the little boy was so hyper that at one point they tried to put him in a classroom with regular kids, and when a girl at a desk next to him rustled a piece of paper, the stimulus was so intense that he bolted out of his seat, ran across the room, knocking over other children's desks, ran into the wall, and knocked himself out. And so the nervous system is hyperactive. It's similar to what happens in post-traumatic stress syndrome, where soldiers come back from the wars and their nervous systems are coiled like a tight spring, and the least little stimulus will set them off. And so what the alpha training does at one level is to calm down an overactive limbic system, the emotional circuitry in the brain. And so it is a result that people produce for themselves, and because it's not done by a drug, and they have to learn how to do this within their own brain, the results stick. And in fact, at one point, I ran a federal grant from the National Institute of Mental Health that I wrote, won, and directed at the University of California, San Francisco. And it was entitled Anxiety and Aging, because it turns out that as people age, once atherosclerosis sets in, which can happen as early as a person's 20s, depending on their genetics, their lifestyle, or diet, once atherosclerosis sets in, the frequency of the alpha slows down by 8/10 of a hertz. That's 8/10 of a cycle per second for every 10 years of life. And so if your alpha is running around 10, as it is 10 cycles a second for most people, it doesn't take very many decades before you drop off below the lower limit of alpha, below 8 cycles per second, and then you enter senescence or senility and often die soon thereafter. And so that's why we say that the alpha training at BioCybernaut can actually reverse aging in the brain, not just slow it down, but actually reverse aging in the brain by restoring the alpha waves in people for whom the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune have begun to deprive them of this very important resource in their brain.
Interesting. So these people who are coming to you are, you know, let's talk in PTSD. We're talking this boy who's really oversensitive. Are they just constantly living in beta? Are they just constantly living that excited threshold? Or is it even gamma? Like, what are you seeing that's maybe characteristic of the people that are coming in, you know, whether it be, physical manifestations or from a brainwave perspective?
Well, sometimes the children in ADD are actually stuck in theta, and they overstimulate themselves to get out of what might be an otherwise too lethargic state. The point is that there are ideal brainwaves for every activity, just like if you have, a five-speed car, there's an ideal gear for every driving situation, and a skilled driver will be able to shift swiftly from one gear to another depending on the demands of the driving. And once you've learned how to control your brainwaves, you can shift your brainwave into whatever gear, so to speak, is appropriate for the task at hand.
Interesting. So just so we can give the listeners a quick understanding, I think you may have glanced over this, but I want to get a little bit deeper. So what kind of state of awareness is associated with each level? So delta is typically sleep, correct? Deep state of sleep?
Well, this is going to be, we can do one which is like the textbook, and then there's what's really going on.
Okay, let's go with what's really going on. I'm curious.
Okay, well, in delta, you typically will see that if somebody is in a coma or if they are in stage 3 or 4 of sleep. These are the two deepest stages of sleep. And in delta sleep, your levels of growth hormone in your body are at their highest levels. And so it's important that you get a lot of delta sleep each night. And it typically takes the average person at least 90 minutes to drift down from wakefulness before they hit delta for the first time. So people who, would sleep an hour at a time would typically not have any delta sleep, and their bodies will physically fall apart pretty quickly. Now, if you take melatonin when you go to sleep, of course, you have to take it in the right way. You have to be just ready for bed. You turn the light out, you put the melatonin under your tongue, and then you get in bed. Your descent into sleep can be more into the deep state of delta sleep, can be more like the dive of a sperm whale, goes like right down into delta, rather than drifting gradually down over 90 minutes. Okay, so delta sleep and coma are characterized by delta waves. However, and this is not known to many neuropsychologists, it's not known to many neurologists, there are also very profound waking states that are characterized by delta. One of these is the profound spiritual state of kundalini. when the kundalini rises, it's like a freight train of energy coming up the spine, and as it hits each one of the chakras, they spring into superconscious awareness. Somebody who's had an experience like this is forever profoundly altered. And so this is, I made the first report of delta waves to the scientific community some years ago, and have seen it occur in, we do delta trainings, but it sometimes occurs in theta trainings. So let's then jump to theta. Theta is seen in stage one and two of sleep, drowsiness. However, theta is a brainwave that wears many hats. The aura that precedes an epileptic seizure, where somebody will be, seeing a vision or something, at a certain point of the vision they go into seizure, that is characterized by theta. A growing brain tumor will produce theta waves. If the brain has been traumatized by a fall or an injury to the head, the scar tissue will produce theta. And theta can also be produced by normal, healthy tissues. And there's a difference between what I call mystical theta and ordinary theta or drowsy theta. A mystical theta, the morphology of the waveforms is different. Instead of looking like little pointy croquet wickets, as it does in drowsy theta, in mystical theta, the theta waves they come in spindles. They're sinusoidal, looking a little bit like slowed down alpha. And in this state, mystical experiences can occur, and also people in theta, in mystical theta, can access an energetic library called the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records, some say, is an energetic database of all knowledge that was, that is now, and some say that will be. Now, lest people think this is sort of New Age mumbo-jumbo, there are really important examples that everybody would know about where the inventor used theta waves to pull the inventions out of the Akashic Records. Probably the most famous name is Thomas Edison, the inventor of the electric light bulb. Now, Edison had over 1,000 patents, and he pulled the knowledge for these patents out of the Akashic Records with a invention technique, which, even though he used it before people knew about brainwaves, involved increasing his theta waves. What Edison would do when he wanted to invent something, he would lie in a recliner chair. In each hand, he would hold a large steel ball bearing, and he would drape his arms over the edges of the chair. And underneath each hand, he would place a large metal pie plate. Then, while thinking of what he wanted to invent, he would try to fall asleep. Well, as soon as he hits theta, he's going to lose his grip on the balls. The scientific way to say it, he would lose postural tonus. And so the steel ball bearings would fall into the metal pie plates, making a clattering din which would wake him up, and he would grab his pencil and he would write down whatever little piece of the invention he'd been able to pull out of the Akashic Records before he became fully awake. And then he'd repeat the process. And so Thomas Edison derived his over 1,000 patents by a skillful use of theta brainwaves, and this was before, we had any technology to measure or to train brainwaves. And so the idea that there is an Akashic Records is seen throughout science. There are other examples, like Kekulé's discovery of the benzene ring. He was actually an organic chemist seeking to find the structure of benzene, which had become an important industrial solvent, but was in short supply from natural sources. So he'd work late at the lab, come home, have a big dinner, drowse in front of the fire, and he began to see these furry balls playing in the fire. And so this became interesting, fascinating, and there was no TV back then, no internet, no cell phones. And so he looked forward to this, and over days, weeks, the furry balls evolved so that they would sometimes bump into each other and make chains. And one night, the chains were undulating through the fire, and the furry balls had, indistinct edges, kind of like an atom viewed through an electron microscope has indistinct edges. The cloud of electrons around an atom doesn't end suddenly, it sort of just thins out. And so at one point, Kekulé was watching a chain of six balls undulate through the fire, and it started to play crack the whip. And it cracked the whip so hard that the two ends spun around and hit and stuck, and he knew in a flash that was the structure of benzene. And he counted the number of furry balls, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then he knew that the structure of benzene was a ring in which six carbon atoms were hooked together in a ring, and each carbon atom had two hydrogen atoms hooked to it, so it's, you know, cyclical hydrocarbon. And so Kekulé discovered the benzene ring, visually seeing it, even though in his time nobody knew about the structure or the shape of atoms. And it was like he had his own electron microscope, where in theta, with strong desire, he could pull out of the Akashic records information necessary to do his invention.
Wow. So that's a thing he's documented personally?
Is what?
Is that something he's documented personally in his records or his books or something like that?
Oh, if you go to the to Google,
yep,
and you search on Kekulé, I believe it's K-E-K-U-L-E, and the E has a circumflex over it,
yep,
you can read about Kekulé's discovery of the benzene ring and his description of his furry balls.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Very, very curious. That's fantastic stuff. So, you know, these are something I didn't even know, realize existed, and tapping into theta obviously sounds like something we want to do. Do you think it's pretty uncommon now due to, you know, technology and TVs and internet and cell phones and stuff?
Well, at one point, Michael Ray, a Stanford professor, was very interested in creativity and business among the highest level, highest achievers. And so he surveyed the titans of industry in many of the Silicon Valley companies. He was, you know, located at Stanford, in the heart of Silicon Valley. And what he found was that many of the titans, the leaders of these high-tech companies, had gotten into trouble as children in school for staring thoughtlessly and wordlessly out the windows. They were trancing in theta.
Right.
So some people have this ability naturally, and if they use this ability, they can rise to become very wealthy, powerful leaders. If you don't have this ability, you can do the BioCybernaut alpha and then theta training and learn how to develop this ability on your own. So the fact that you weren't born with it is irrelevant, because there's a training method that allows you to learn how to do it.
So now you're doing this with kids as young as 7. I'm obviously assuming there's absolutely zero negative side effects you've ever seen from it?
We put the electrodes on with water-soluble pastes and gels. We use gold disc electrodes. And so there is a negative side effect that it messes up your hair a little bit.
I love it. but nobody's ever come out with maybe a heightened sense of, you know, being overstimulated. It's always going to be that typical, now I'm able to control my theta, my alpha. There's never been someone who's maybe had a reverse effect.
Well, the beautiful thing about the alpha training, and there's good news and bad news, the good news is you only get as much as you can handle. And the bad news is you only get as much as you can handle.
The irony of life.
Because if you start to become even a little bit uncomfortable, then that pinches off your alpha waves and the tones get quieter and the experience backs off. Many of the people will experience out of body in their alpha training. And this often begins where you start to feel a little bit light in the chair. And so, of course, if you notice this, then, you know, it's like noticing an alpha burst, you know, it backs off. And so you have to learn to look at it out of the corner of your mind's eye, so you allow it to happen. But if you get, you know, freaked out about it, or even a little concerned, or even just pay too much attention to the phenomena, then it backs off. So you only get as much as you can handle.
So I'm sure you're very aware of the current trend in what is being said to be Silicon Valley. And truthfully, it seems to be quite all around the world. Everybody on the podcast, every podcast in the world is talking about this stuff. But the microdosing of drugs, really, to try to achieve these states. So for all these guys out there who are thinking about that, doing that stuff, or have done that stuff, is there a negative I'm guessing they're trying to achieve theta and you know, whatever, alpha. Is there a negative effect to going out there and artificially stimulating these states with chemicals, or is that going to be something that allows you to enter back into that state organically?
Many questions there. Let me take them on one at a time. At BioCybernaut, we teach something called the psychophysiological principle. In simple language, it's brainwaves rule. Brainwaves rule your emotions, they rule your thoughts, they rule your performance, they rule your emotional intelligence, your anything about you, that any experience you have as a living human being is determined by what brainwaves you're running. And when you change your brainwaves by any means, drugs or meditation or brainwave feedback or fasting or Sufi dancing or whatever, if you change your brainwaves, you will change your experience of reality. Now, the problem with drugs is, of course, you know, many of these are illegal. That's one problem. But the other problem is that it's a do-it-to-you technology. It's not a learning technology. And so, you know, it doesn't happen so much anymore. But back, in, you know, even into the early 90s, on day three or four of the alpha training, people would come out of the chamber and they go, "Man, that was better than my best acid trip." And, you know, they had previously done LSD, and what they found that when they could turn on the alpha waves, they were having experiences that were more profound, more healing, more awakening than anything that they had had on LSD. Now, in 1962, before LSD became illegal in California, Barbara Brown, a psychologist researcher in Southern California, legally gave LSD to college students and then measured their brainwaves. And what she found was that in some people, it made more alpha, but in other people, LSD suppressed alpha, and it divided on whether they were visualizers or not. And so, you know, a drug is not going to reliably produce alpha increases for everyone. It's going to have differential effects. But the brainwave feedback can be targeted, so you can target not only specific brainwaves like alpha or theta or delta or gamma or Schumann, but you can also target it at particular places on your head. So you can learn how to be fully functional in a new way.
So targeting different places in your head, meaning different regions of the brain.
Exactly. For example, I'll tell you a story. This shows about the brainwaves of wealth-making in a certain kind of a way. About 80% of people have their biggest alpha at the back of the head in the visual cortex, which is called the occipital lobes of the brain, left and right. On rare occasions, somebody will have alpha bigger elsewhere on the head. Well, one time I had a guy come in for training, and on the first day I could see that his alpha waves were much bigger at the frontal locations above the eyes, F3 and F4, locations in the international 1020 electrode placement system. And I looked at his brainwaves and I said, "Man, you would make a great strategic planner." And he smiled and said, "That's my job."
Wow.
And so he had typecast himself into a career in which he could make lots of money by using the enhanced and unusual alpha waves at the frontal sites. Now, the reason I was able to say that was the frontal lobes are the association cortex where people make associations. Well, if you can make associations creatively, which alpha allows you to be more creative, if you can make creative associations, then you can project into the future and you can be a gifted strategic planner. Now, there are some brainwave training locations where what they do is they measure your brainwaves and they compare you to a normative database. And if you differ from the average student, from the herd, they will try to train out of you the very brainwaves that give you your giftedness. If this guy had gone there or if a Zen master had gone there, they would have tried to reduce his alpha waves because they were not like what the average person has. Well, because he had brainwaves which were not like the average person, he had a huge salary and an amazing job where every day he would be asked to make strategic planning kinds of creative associations using his deviant, abnormal high levels of frontal alpha. And so depending on what job you have or what skill, well, for example, like professional athletes, you can't measure brainwaves when people are moving. because the muscles produce signals thousands and tens of thousands of times bigger than the brainwaves, swamping the brainwaves. But there are some sports in which the athlete is motionless before the shot. A golfer before he putts, an archer before he shoots, a pistol or a rifle marksman before they shoot, a basketball player at free throw. And in all of these sports, the brainwaves have been measured. And if there's a big burst of alpha right before the shot, it's going to be one of the best shots. And so one way to have peak performance in sports is to learn how to turn on your alpha waves at will. And the same thing in science or any area where you have to be creative. In order to have creative processing of information, coming up with creative solutions, you need increased alpha waves. Colin Martindale studied people who had the obvious indicia of creativity. They had patents, they had publications, they had paintings, sculptures. And then he compared them with a group of people who were demographically the same age and sex and so on, from the same community. And he brought them into his lab, measured their brainwaves. And at rest, there was no significant difference between the creative people and the normals. But when he gave them problems to work on, the normals sat there in their normal brainwave state and did only as well as normals usually do, and the creative people immediately went into a higher alpha state in which they quickly and effectively solved the problems in a manner that distinguished them as creative people. And so Dr. Martindale said, creativity is simply a matter of having the right brainwaves. And with the BioCybernaut neurofeedback technology, people can learn how to increase their alpha waves whenever they want to.
I'll tell you, this is the most fascinating technology that I've literally ever come across, and I'm so excited that you've brought it to the world. Now, you say you've been doing it since the 90s, and I've seen your videos on YouTube, and you're not kidding. So how long have you been doing it?
Well, the first formal academic study that I did was done at Carnegie Mellon University, and it was in 1971.
Wow.
And what I did was I trained 20 students, 10 of whom were extremely high anxiety, and the other 10 were low anxiety. And what I found was that when a high anxiety person increased his alpha above his resting eyes-closed baseline, he suddenly became a low-anxiety person. Now, in that study, because of the constraints of working with college students, I wasn't able to give him enough training. So then I moved out on a pre-doctoral fellowship to University of California, San Francisco, and I repeated the study with 10 high-anxiety and 10 low-anxiety students, giving them more training time. And in this study, 50%, first study only 12%, second study more training time, 50% of the high anxiety people learned to make alpha and became low anxiety people. So then looking at the learning curve, I increased the training time and improved the technology even more. So now we can take 100% of a high anxiety group and they can learn to increase their alpha above a resting baseline and they become low anxiety people. Now, that's not the only beneficial changes in personality, because I would measure using things like the MMPI, the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, which is very good at discriminating between schizophrenia and paranoia and depression and mania and hypochondriasis and psychopathic deviancy. You know, there's clinical scales. And what I found was that when the alpha went up, these clinical examples of psychopathology would be reduced. And so I've recently repeated that work in BioCybernaut Institute of Canada that trained a cohort of male and female Canadian Aboriginals, many of whom are as profoundly into post-traumatic stress disorder as returning war veterans because of the residential school system, in which children were ripped away from their parents and sent to these schools, which had as a stated purpose to destroy Indian culture. These schools continued in Canada up until 1989, and so many of the adults there are so intensely traumatized that they pass this traumatization on to their children.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, child abuse is or was common in such people. 80% of all male Canadian Aboriginals have been sexually abused. And in some of the tribes, it's 100% because of the abuse that was heaped upon them by the residential school system. And so I published a paper in a peer-reviewed medical journal, Mind-Body Medicine, which demonstrated that even with a highly traumatized group of Aboriginal peoples, that we could restore them to normal psychological functioning. We also measured 6 months later their results in a variety of areas, and we found that 71% of them were in improved economic circumstances with more sources of income, more savings, less debt. And this is just 6 months after their alpha training. So we can see that the alpha training reduces personality dysfunction, increases IQ, increases EQ, increases a person's earning ability, increases their creativity. It's like, well, why wouldn't you do something like this?
Brilliant. So, Dr. Hart, everyone, a lot of people in my industry and the fitness industry are very aware of neurochemical influences on the brain. And I'm going to guess you've looked into some of the research and the influences of neuroelectrical stimulation on the neurochemistry. Is that something that you've dove into at all?
Well, first of all, the brain is a bio-electro-magneto-chemical organ. And it's the chemical processes that produce the electrical activity of the brainwaves that produces the magnetic activity, which you can also measure outside the skull with a magnetoencephalograph. And so you can intervene in this process at any stage. However, the brainwave training through either the electrical brainwaves or the magnetic brainwaves are a far more subtle and precise way of doing it than by intervening with the chemistry. First of all, it's hard to measure the chemistry in a living human being. You'd have to stick a needle into the brain and, you know, pump out little bits of the fluid and analyze it, you know, as you go. Or, you know, you give a drug which might affect, you know, the whole organism. Whereas with the brainwave training, you can target specific brainwaves at specific locations in the head, and you can do this without, you know, disturbing the brain, without sticking needles into the brain.
Right. So I'm curious if the neuroelectrical training is influencing the neurochemistry at all.
Has to.
Okay. So by changing someone into, you know, more alpha state, it's definitely going to change the way their body is producing neurotransmitters?
Well, it depends, because are you talking learning or are you talking stimulation? As a former bodybuilder, you know that if you're going to build a muscle, you have to have some resistance. You might hold a dumbbell in your hand as you're doing curls, and the weight of the dumbbell produces changes in the muscle. Now, if you just hooked your arm up to a machine that moved your arm back and forth, you might develop some joint flexibility in your elbow, but you wouldn't build any muscles. So, yeah, no effort, no gain. No strain, no gain. And so, if you stimulate the brain electrically or with, say, pulsed tones, this falls into the category of what I call inducement. And so you can induce a state with a drug, but it doesn't mean that you know how to access it on your own.
Fascinating. So the reason I'm asking, I'm curious if there, you know, obviously with aging, there's going to be some degree of degradation of neurochemistry, maybe even neuroelectricity. So I'm just wondering if there's any way long term that you could positively influence in either direction, or obviously conversely negatively influence in either direction, because so many people these days are playing, for lack of a better word, with their neurochemistry by stimulating, you know, in so many different ways, whether it be drugs or supplements. So I'm curious to see if there's any research or if you've had any empirical evidence on, you know, the influence.
Well, the study that I conducted, funded by the National Institute of Mental Health, had as one of its categories of research subjects people who were from 60 up into their 80s years of age. And these were people who were kind of like retired, kind of like waiting around to die, and obviously having the brainwaves of elderly people. When they got into the BioCybernaut brainwave training process, it was like they had drunk from the fountain of youth. We had people who had never graduated high school, after their Alpha training, they got a GED. They went to college. They got degrees. They went on and got advanced degrees. They started businesses. We had one woman who was 74 who took a 45-year-old man as her lover, and he pronounced her both spiritually and sexually fulfilling. And I remember there was a woman named Rosie, and at 80, she started a holistic health networking system for senior citizens in the San Francisco East Bay. And people I know who met her said, "My God, Rosie's the only woman I ever met who gets younger every time I see her."
Wow.
And so when you change your brainwaves, you change your biochemistry. This is a known fact. Brainwave feedback can alter the biochemistry of the brain.
Absolutely, it can. That's why I was asking if there's any research, negative or positive, because I'm assuming that on so many levels you're influencing your neurochemistry. You're also probably going to be influencing your endocrine system, your hormones, and I'm just curious to see how, because it sounds like it's all positive. But I'd love to know, like, hey, if I can stimulate this, and, you know, I'm sure we could sell all my listeners on BioCybernaut if we can say, hey, this alpha training is going to increase your testosterone and increase your sex life. I think you've just got yourself a 100,000 new customers.
Well, as you increase your alpha waves, you are reversing a very important aspect of aging in the brain. And in a higher alpha state, your brain simply functions better. And so it runs the hormones, the digestion, the endocrine system, runs everything better because it's now in a more optimal state. And so one study I know gave brainwave training to post-traumatic stress-disordered hypoglycemic alcoholics. And they measured, these are people for whom nothing worked to get them off of alcohol. Because they're hypoglycemic, every few hours they'd be hitting the wall energetically and they'd need a drink in order to, you know, just come back to a normal energy level. And so after 30 sessions of brainwave feedback training, 80% of these people were on the wagon. And 4 years later, 80% of these people were still on the wagon. And the researchers, Peniston and Kolkoski by name, had undertaken to measure beta endorphins before and after the training. Now, beta endorphin is stress-related, and alcoholics bring it down by drinking. Well, the brainwave training brought it down, and so they measured a reduction in beta endorphin directly related to the brainwave feedback training. And so this actually... This study brought brainwave feedback to national attention because suddenly hard-nosed neurologists, physiologists, and physicians suddenly were awakened to the fact that brainwave feedback, hey guys, this can change your biochemistry in your brain in beneficial ways. And so brainwave feedback came out of a multi-year doldrums where people kind of thought it didn't work for a while.
Now, when you say 30 sessions for those people, is that 30 days or 30 weeks?
It was 30 sessions.
Yeah. So, like, the session's approximately a day?
Our sessions take a full day, yeah, exactly.
Fascinating. So it's interesting. I mean, just the fact that that's possible is absolutely fascinating to me. So can you give us a bit of an idea as to the demographics that you typically work with? Is it literally just everybody? Or is I know you've got a lot of cases where you're working with PTSD, and definitely some high performers like Silicon Valley CEOs and such or the documented cases. But I'm really curious as to who, you know, your typical customer is or your typical clientele.
Well, I jokingly say this training's not for everyone. It's only for people with brains. And the age range currently is 8 to 89. It includes peak performers in sports, professional athletes, professional musicians, people who are scientists and engineers and computer programmers, people who need an extra edge, but it also includes children and grandchildren and grandmothers and grandparents. I've trained Zen masters and European and Middle Eastern royalty. I've trained CEOs of billion-dollar companies. I mean, if you have a brain, you can enhance your performance with this training.
Amazing. So Is there any way that people at home can achieve some degree other than meditation? Or obviously meditation is the probably the answer, but are there any other ways that people can achieve some degree of alpha brain stimulation at home so they can just maybe see some of the benefits of what's possible with NetBioCybernaut before they go all the way to your training?
Yeah, there's several things that they can do that would be quite helpful. One is breathing exercises. Now, there's many forms and taught by many different meditation teachers. Breathing exercises are typically done before somebody sits down to try to meditate. One of the simplest is you simply observe your breath. You don't try to speed it up. You don't try to slow it down. You just watch it. You pay attention to your breath. And mindfulness is a way to describe that. Another breathing exercise, which is very powerful, it was used in a study with angina patients, people who have pain in their heart because they don't have enough oxygen in their blood. And so a group of angina patients were cured of their angina by doing this breathing exercise. So, you know, it tells us that it produces extra oxygen in the blood, which is necessary to produce additional alpha waves. And so it's a simple exercise described in Minnesota Medicine. You increase, you breathe in for a count, could be 10, 12, 15, if you're good, maybe 20. And then you hold for that same count, and then you exhale for that same count. And then you begin again with the inhale. Now, it's pretty easy to, you know, count to 15 while inhaling. And then you have a lung full of fresh air, so you can hold for 15 seconds. But then on the countdown where you're exhaling slowly, you might get halfway through your exhale and feel that, oh my God, I'm out of air, I have to take a breath. Well, you are disciplined, you're a peak performer, and so you continue pushing. You push the air out, you don't rush it, you count to 15, and then you start the inhale, which would be 15 again. Now, your natural tendency would be you're empty of air, you want to go and take a quick breath in, but you resist that tendency and you breathe in slowly to your count, whatever it is, 10, 12, 15, and then you do a dozen of these breaths. And now what this does, the deepest, most powerful desire that people have is for air. It's more powerful than the desire for food or water or sex or friendship. The hunger for air is the most powerful. And when you can master that, and the technique in yoga is called pranayama, because along with mastering your breath, you're mastering a subtle energy that pervades the universe, according to the yogis, which is called prana. And so this mindfulness breathing, and then this controlled breathing where you do a three-phase inhale, hold, exhale for a dozen breaths are very good breathing exercises that will increase your alpha waves and also potentially increase your intelligence. Now, another thing that you can do is to eliminate drugs and foods that reduce alpha. And these include caffeine, nicotine, alpha is reduced by both of those, also alcohol. And people might bridle at this, but onions and garlic also produce an agitated mind in which it is harder to have alpha waves. And so we ask our trainees before they come to eliminate for at least a week, if they can, caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, onion, and garlic. And so these are things you can do at home that will increase your alpha waves.
That pretty much eliminates 60% of my caloric intake. I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. But that's obviously definitely doable. And I think the breathing would be very helpful. I've noticed tremendous changes to my brain state with just controlled breathing, like you say. So that's incredibly valuable. Dr. Hart, I can't tell you how grateful I am. I think this is the most fascinating thing that I've pretty much ever heard of in my life for anyone who wants to be a high performer. And I know everyone who listens to my podcast is striving for greatness. The theme of my podcast is the upgraded modern man. And anyone who wants to get over to BioCybernaut in Sedona, where can they find you?
BioCybernaut.com. And we also have training centers in Victoria, British Columbia, and in Bavaria, Germany.
And I'll link to all that in the show notes, so which is found at benpokulski.com/podcasts. Dr. Hart, are you on social media, or what's the best way for them to reach you? Just on the BioCybernaut website?
My email personal is jim@biocybernaut.com, but you can also go through the website, and you will access people. Would it be of interest to your listeners to hear a 30-second clip of Tony Robbins talking about the training?
Oh, absolutely. If you want to play it, or I could link it to the show post-production.
Listen, if you are looking to improve your brain, your psyche, your ability, your emotions, your ability to really maximize your performance, and you want to really dig into your brain, my dear friend Dr. Jim Hart and his BioCybernaut program is extraordinary. I've been through it myself. My wife Sage has, members of my family have, and we found it to be truly extraordinary. But it is not for the faint at heart. Unless you're dead serious about really taking things to the next level, don't bother. We went through the Alpha program designed to maximize your ability to have create alpha waves, and it was challenging and it was incredibly rewarding, and I'd recommend it to anybody serious about improving the quality of their lives or including the quality of their family lives as well. So check out CyberNaut, check out Dr. Jim Hart, and if you do, I think you'll be really, really pleased. So good luck, God bless, and live with passion. Bye-bye.
Love it.
I hope.
I'm a huge fan of Tony Robbins. I preach about him all the time. He's the guy who was kind of the guy who was the catalyst for my, the transfer of my life from, way back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really. I credit him with a lot. Shifting my psychology, shifting my physiology way back in like 2005 is really when I kind of started acknowledging what was possible. And Tony was definitely the catalyst. So I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my trainers, now a permanent trainer at my German location, I met him as a personal trainer at Snap Fitness here in Sedona, and he was on his way to becoming pro. He had just won best overall in a field of 80 people in the physique category of bodybuilding, and he had to make a choice between going for pro in that field or becoming a trainer at BioCybernaut, and he chose to become a trainer at BioCybernaut.
I think it's brilliant because, it's the type of thing you're going to impact people in such a massive way and potentially change the paradigm of the world because, I just see how this could change anyone who's got a negative thought process, anyone who wants to do bad things, anyone who's had bad things done to them. I just see it as being such a valuable asset, and I'm so curious as to exactly at what level. And it's definitely something that I'd like to try out myself, and I'm going to dive in hopefully very, very soon.
Well, I look forward to welcoming you to one of our locations. And you speak about changing the world. We have a thing we call the Key Person Program. It turns out we want to identify leaders in every field and bring them in for training because leaders, of course, have specialized knowledge, and they also typically have positions of power and influence. And far too many leaders lead from need and fear and greed.
So true.
And after a week or two in the BioCybernaut chambers, they could come from high and clear and love and an understanding of the oneness of all life, as well as being almost 12 points smarter in IQ and 12 points higher of emotional IQ. And it will very quickly show up in their work because they still have their specialized knowledge, they still have their positions of power, and so they can begin to influence the direction that the world evolves.
I think that's incredibly selfless of you, to be honest, and that's fascinating. That it just makes so much sense, right? If you can impact the world, you impact the influencers.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Yeah. So you can count on me being there. I'd love to be there, and I'll hopefully bring my wife along because I think it's just the type of thing that may be really effective done together if you're both in the same state at the same time. What do you tell me?
Oh, yes. I think it's incredibly important for people to bring along their partners. This could be their emotional or romantic partner. It could be their scientific or their business partners. The idea of doing this with people that you know and you work with is so empowering. Because the operating words at BioCybernaut are openness, honesty, love, forgiveness, and appreciation. And when you add greater amounts of that to any kind of relationship, that relationship will thrive. I can't tell you how many marriages we've saved by people coming with their spouse and reconnecting with the deep love they had for each other and doing the forgiveness on all the little minor irritations that had built up. So yeah, that's very powerful.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Head on over to iTunes right now and leave me a review. Let me know if you loved it. Let me know if you absolutely hated it. Either way, I need to know so I can improve my job and bring you guys the best information with respect to muscle building, health optimization, and building a better person, building a better man. So thank you very much to our sponsors, which make this stuff possible. I'd love for you guys to each head over and check out atplab.com, ATP Labs, or ATP Lab. Either one works. ATP is a company I've recently aligned with because they have world-class manufacturing, and everything they do is third-party tested and proven to be what it is inside the bottle that it says it is on the label. And you guys know that's massive. And not only that, we're getting the best quality ingredients from anywhere in the world that provides them. Thank you also to Prime Fitness USA, the best equipment for someone looking to build muscle and make the most of their time. I chose to reach out to Prime personally. They never reached out to me. I reached out to them because I knew what they had, and I really believed in their product, and I brought every one of their pieces into my gym, and we still use them every day because, you know, we're all about mindful attention to detail. We are muscle intelligence. We are the ones teaching the best people in the world, the smartest people in the world, how to build muscle in the least amount of time. Another shout out to Gasp and Better Bodies for always taking great care of myself and my trainers and my staff. If you guys want to get a discount for Gasp Better Bodies, head over to benpokulski.com/podcasts and check out the show notes from this show and all the other shows, and you can find transcripts there as well. So have a wonderful day. Upgrade your life, stay focused, and live a life of greatness.
Join us on benpokulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.